This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday morning. My name is Bryce Kuhn. He is Glenn West, and we're joined all the way back down from Orlando, Florida, the most magical place on earth, Disney itself, Mr. Dylan Sanders. Dylan, we haven't heard from you in a while. Are you? Did you enjoy your time down there?
Oh, yeah. It was a great time. Great vacation. Great time away. But I'm glad to be back and watching some women's basketball. I'll put the emphasis
women's
on
basketball. Women's basketball. We're talking a little women's hoops today, and for good reason. For absolutely good reason. We teased this in the last episode, and we wanted to talk about today. A big win as we're recording this on Sunday against Texas A&M on the road, which, look, I don't care what you rank. Winning on the road in the SEC is a tough thing to do. LSU comes out with a win, 72-66. And look, we're going to talk about this team because we have not yet. But Dylan, I know you've been following it, you know, really closely, and Glenn and I have been kind of monitoring from afar as well. This is a team that's you know, playing really well. They've had some shaky, some nerve wracking games, especially that Georgia game in the PMAC. But kind of what's your big takeaway? What are the themes of this team here in 2023?
It's Angel Reese is the theme. Is the
a dose front, of Angel front Reese. Center. More yeah. of Angel Reese and more.
Yeah, more. She's a walking double-double. She has yet to not finish with a double-double as an LSU Tiger, which is just insane. 23 straight. She had it in the first half of this game against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And I think she almost reached 50 rebounds against Texas A&M this year in two games. Good. And she didn't play like half of the first quarter against them last time, and she finished with 26 rebounds like last time, over 20 today. It's absurd. She is so fun to watch. She's so confident. This team is the most fun LSU basketball product I've watched in a long, long time.
Use the word LSU period. Basketball. Women's or men's?
LSU, women's or men's. This is, you know, Will Wade had a couple of fun teams. But this is the most fun basketball team that they have the most energy, the most confidence. Talking to the players, watching them play, equivalent to the 2019 football team, but they have that swagger about them. Angel Reese has that top of the line superstar mentality, and she's just really good. And what's maybe almost just as important is that Alexis Morris is really coming into her own. She, you know, this is her fourth school in 5 years. She was on the team last year. She's had a rough go of things. She was the shooting guard last year, transitioned to point guard, really struggled to start off the year. But now it feels like whenever there's any clutch moment that someone needs to do something, she's hitting a huge shot. Yeah. She's transformed. She's, you know, goes by Lex Luthor now, which is fantastic. Everyone has nicknames. Angel Reese is Bayou Barbie. Kim Mulkey is as Kim Mulkey as ever. It's just great. The fans have been amazing these past couple games, against Georgia and against Tennessee. I think with the struggles of the men's team, people have been wanting to find that something to latch onto. And here's this women's team that is going to be ranked number two soon in the country, playing number one South Carolina before the Super Bowl next Sunday. It's going to be a blast. It's just, I can't remember a time in my lifetime where the women's team has been this fun. I mean, that's because they haven't. Just truthfully. It's a great time to be an LSU women's basketball fan. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Glenn, I want to throw it to you because, you know, Dylan's in school at LSU right now. You preceded him not too many years, but you were there, obviously. I mean, have you seen, other than 2019 football, I mean, what other athletic program, maybe baseball in the sense, has captivated the fan base as much? I mean, look, I'm not down there, but it doesn't take long for you to watch the game on ESPN, you know, wherever you're watching it, to see the social media post. I mean, it's the PMAC is packed out for these women's games, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really recall outside of 2019 football a team really kind of grabbing this much attention and keeping it for as long as they have. There are a couple teams that I think probably in the past, you know, LSU gymnastics for a good stretch of my college career was always packing the PMAC, and it was a number one, number two, number three ranked team for most of the time that I was in college. But yeah, I mean, look, the Will Wade team that went to the Sweet 16 was a really fun team to watch, really fun team to cover. But they didn't have their coach for the NCAA tournament, and they were marred in controversy.
Good choice of words. Yeah, just a lot of things.
They fizzled out at the end there, which of course happens with every team that's not, you know, the national championship. But it's been a really fun team to watch. I've certainly been tuning into more games recently, and I've been really impressed with Alexis Morris too. I think she has become the number two player on this team. She had a bunch of turnovers today in the win. But you can tell that they really lean on her a lot, especially on the perimeter, to help pull these games out. And, you know, I think she's, like Dylan said, come into her own a little bit here. And I certainly haven't watched a women's team that has been as, you know, gripping and fun to watch as this one has. I caught the tail end of the Simone Augustus, Sylvia Fowles era. I was like maybe 8 or 9 when that was going on in the, you know, mid 2000s. And, you know, I was watching as a little kid, but didn't really have a great sense of what the women's program was like. And I think, you know, Kim Mulkey, and credit to the job that she's done, and credit to how these players have really bought into what she's built in the first couple of years here. They've got something special, and I think they could certainly continue to be a championship contender year in and year out.
And, you know, it's funny, we're talking about how good they are at basketball. The vibe around the team being different. Their third best player, Flauje Johnson, is on America's Got Talent on Monday night. She's a phenomenal rapper. She, during like the preseason like hype rally, she did a concert. Like, just this whole team is just, it's just different, and it's really fun to be around, really infectious. And it's fun to see like the Death Dome coming back, because that game against Tennessee was truly one of the loudest environments I've ever been in. Just because it is so being caused LSU to have problems calling, like on the offensive side. They, whenever your own fans are causing a shot clock violation on your own, on yourself, it's a crazy environment in there.
Yeah. And I think too, it's building up to, I mean, look, it's been a fantastic season. But I think what we've all circled on the calendar is obviously next Sunday. I mean, that this is the game where you kind of get to see, okay, look, Kim Mulkey's done a fantastic job. Angel Reese has become not one of the just more polarizing players, I would say, just in the women's game, but on men or women in the college game right now. I mean, people are starting to take notice. So I'll open this up, and Dylan, we'll go to you and then kind of back to Glenn on this. The emergence of Alexis Morris, we've kind of talked about this, it's key, and it's happening at the right time for this team as they get prepared to go on the road to Columbia, which is, I think, what it sold out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, this game was like, it's been sold out for a while. I mean, I think I don't know what the attendance is there at Colonial Life Arena, I think it's called. But look, I mean, what would, too early, look, what would you say of this game? What's important? I mean, Alexis Morris has to be there because everyone knows the name Angel Reese.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting if you look at these two teams, Angel Reese and Aaliyah Boston, obviously the marquee matchup, but South Carolina is kind of the same team in that their second best player is their point guard, Zaya Cook. So it's powers versus powers in this one, and it's going to be, you know, just going to have to will it out. I will say LSU, the thing that worries me is depth and wear and tear, because this team the past couple games has been visibly tired. It's catching up to them. I mean, Mulkey did it last year, doing it again, just kind of because they have to. They're like, starters are playing like 37 minutes a game out of a 40-minute game. Yeah. So whenever you play that much, it starts to wear on you, and it's kind of obvious there. Like, these players aren't used to this level of work, and they're powering through it. They're winning, which is the important thing. And they do have a little bit of a benefit in that they don't play a game until South Carolina, and South Carolina still has another game ahead of their game, and South Carolina is coming off of a really hard fought game against UConn today.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the biggest nod in LSU's favor, because the question's always been, is this team really good? They haven't really played anybody, and that's a valid point. But whenever you're winning your games against these nobodies that people like to, you know, say the SEC are, which I don't really believe, if you're winning your games by like 20 points, what else are you supposed to do?
You're doing what you're asked. I mean, you can only you can only play the schedule you're dealt, and they're doing it in dominating fashion.
I think the talent's there. I don't think there's a question if this team's good enough. It's, do they have enough gas in the tank to stand with a South Carolina whenever you only have six players who can really contribute, and maybe seven if, you know, someone has a good night off the bench. So it's really, really going to be an awesome game, I think, because both teams they're similar. South Carolina isn't the deepest team in the country. They are deeper just because of how long that Dawn Staley has been able to build that program out.
Mm-hmm.
They have multiple recruiting classes of players, transfers. They're more set up for success right now than LSU is. But talent to talent, these two teams are not as far away as I think people give LSU credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll bounce off that even a little bit. I mean, I think part of the benefit of having a schedule like that, where LSU kind of, you know, really had their way with a lot of these teams in the first 15, 17, 18 games of the year, is that you're able to kind of rest some of your players at the end of these games. I mean, LSU was winning these games by 40, 50, 60 points at some times. And, you know, I was just doing a quick look at the minutes. I mean, the highest minutes right now on the team are Angel Reese, who's played 760 out of a possible 920 minutes in the season, which is a lot. But, you know, also you've got, you know, Alexis Morris, who's played 721, but then you've got Flo-J Johnson, who's played 598, and that's the third highest on the team. And I think that, you know, they're all very young, and they all got great legs, fresh legs. And, you know, I think that's going to be really, you know, beneficial to LSU, you know, as, you know, the fact that they were able to have such a great start to their season and get a lot of people involved in the program and in these games, that that really helps in terms of just what you're looking at is in terms of keeping your legs fresh and all that. So I'm excited to see what happens with South Carolina. I think, you know, the X factor of the game is going to be Flo-J. I think that LSU really, if they get, you know, I think you've come to expect LSU to get really good performances out of Alexis Morris and out of Angel Reese. But if they can get another really stout performance from their true freshman guard, who's the number one player in the country coming into this year, they're in real good shape. And I think that they're a really tough out if all three of those young women come to play and play well.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting. I imagine that's going to be a primetime matchup. I don't know what they have it slated on TV-wise yet, but I imagine, like you said, Dylan, with Stanford falling on Sunday, LSU, I mean, it would be crazy if they don't move up into that number two spot. So number one against number two, going to be setting up for I mean, look, that's your Super Bowl appetizer right there. I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. As I'm downing the wings and the celery sticks, I do eat the celery sticks. I'm weird like that.
Celery sticks are awesome.
They're good. Thank you.
I like the carrot sticks. Celery sticks.
They're both great. All right. They're both great. No, they go
it's gonna
better
be fun to
with
watch.
Wings than fries, I think. But you know, some people might look at the Super Bowl as the dessert to LSU versus South Carolina. I think it's going to be a great game. I really do.
I like it.
I think it's going to, you know, I don't think I would go in if we're doing a pick 'em. I don't think I'd pick LSU to win, honestly. But really, you don't have to win, I don't think, against South Carolina this Sunday. It's not a must win for LSU. They've made themselves known. They've built out their resume enough. You just got to compete, show that you belong, and you can show that you belong without winning. And then you'll have two to three, one or two more matchups against South Carolina this year at some point.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, that'll be on Sunday at 1 p.m. Central, I believe, is the tip-off for that one. So a lot of fun.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLL&Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, listen, if you enjoy women's basketball and you like LSU basketball, now is when Glenn is going to let you know how disappointing the men have been over the past, I think it's a safe to say month now. It's we're officially in the month of February. So January was a disappointing month for the men. So we want you to keep watching, so make sure you do. But this is where we have to go. I thought about titling this episode The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And this might be the bad and the ugly. So
certainly falls under that category.
Falls under the category for sure. So let's talk about this. There's been a lot of and Dylan, I've continued to follow and get more ingrained into the social media side of things of LSU Twitter, which is a fun place to be sometimes, and other times it's interesting to watch. You've interacted a lot in this in the sense of, you know, fans are restless. Fans are a little bit frustrated. Glenn, we mentioned this that. You can tell attendance-wise that, you know, it's there's a difference right now with just, you know, going back to when LSU hosted Tennessee and Georgia and then looking back at the men's couple of games, the big difference there. But the game on Saturday afternoon, I don't know about you. I haven't followed the LSU men's program as close as you guys have over the past couple of years. I was not surprised by the outcome, but maybe the margin, if that makes sense. We saw a lot of fight out of Matt McMahon's team, even in what can only be described, Glenn, as a really poor offensive night from the field. I mean, they shot 30% from the field, 25%. Alabama shot 44% from the field, 44% from beyond the arc, and this game still was only a 10-point loss.
Yeah. Look, I mean – That you just kind of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, they just cannot shoot the ball with any efficiency right now, and that's why they are in this, you know, 10-game losing streak that they're currently on. But with that being said, to also your point, they won a lot of the little things on Saturday against Alabama, which really helped them stay in this game. You know, until about the 7-minute mark of the second half, they only had two turnovers in the game, which. Was something that I never thought I'd see with this team. I mean, it's really rare that you see a college basketball team be that careful with the basketball. Mm-hmm. And LSU did a really good job for the first, you know, 30, 33 minutes of the game in that respect. And that you saw them getting out in transition a little bit more because they had some good defensive possessions. The offensive rebounds have been through the roof the last three or four games. They've got to be a little bit more efficient in converting off of those second chance opportunities. They still haven't done a great job of that. You got to take small wins where you can. And I think this was a much better effort, overall performance, and just kind of hope what you hope to expect with this team as they try to climb themselves out of this a little bit. I mean, a couple weeks ago, this was a train wreck. I mean, in terms of morale, confidence, everything within the program, everybody that I've talked to, it's just a really rough couple weeks, after that first Alabama loss, really, where they went into Tuscaloosa and got blown out by 40. It was not a good place, and it's slowly but surely, I think, starting to rebound a little bit and come back up to the surface level of what you hope this program can be built on moving forward. And we'll get into maybe why that is a little bit, in the next couple minutes here. But I think that, they've started to show you that they can claw out a few more wins in SEC play, maybe finish this thing off with a little bit of confidence heading into the off season. But there's no doubt there needs to be a serious evaluation of the roster and the types of players they're bringing in next year, because this has been a really, really poor situation. And I think, nobody knows that more than Matt McMahon. You can see it on his face in the post games, and then, talking with him before games as well. They've got to get this ship on the right track.
Yeah. And two, before we kind of jump ahead, I do want to give credit because junior Derek Fountain had a good game, a really good game. And what I was most impressed with, his ability to get the line, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, drew 9 fouls, something that I think that fans have wanted to see him especially, which I, credit to the SID staff, they put this in the postgame recap. Ironically, his previous career high was in the PMAC when he played as Mississippi State Bulldog against LSU, and he had 20. But 26 points, 6 of 9 from the field, including 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, and then 12-15 for the line. So that's a positive. I mean, you see him get going. That is kind of the answer where, Glenn, I think at the beginning of January we talked about, look, they got to have another option, right? Multiple other options, Fountain doing that. Now, I think that's huge. That was really big for me seeing him do that.
Yeah, and look, when I was just talking about why the reason they're starting to pull themselves out of it a little bit, I think Fountain and his leadership have been a big part of that. I mean, I asked him yesterday what the morale of the players is like. We haven't really spoken with players a whole ton after these losses. They just – and respect and admittedly, rightfully probably so, they just don't like talking about – losing so much. And so, but he was very open with us yesterday. I thought he gave a couple great answers. We'll have something up on that, later Monday morning on our site. And I just kind of go back to a quote that Matt McMahon said yesterday as well about Fountain. And he kind of just said he embodies everything that I want to build in this program, from relentless effort and energy and being all about the team. And he's really kind of stepped into the main leader of this team, I would say. And I think McMahon's exact quote was, people respect toughness and people respect guys who put the team above themselves, and he checks all of those boxes. We need to keep building around that and make it more contagious to the entire program moving forward. So I mean, that just gives you a little insight there into how kind of fractured is maybe a better word for just how this program has been for about a month now. And I think the fact that you're starting to see it with their habits and what they're practicing, it's translating to the court at least a little bit. And you're starting to see some small wins even in the losses. And I think probably the biggest thing that you've got to hope for is that they just kind of shoot themselves out of this. I mean, they've just been in a really, really bad offensive slump during this stretch. And 10 games is a large sample size, and it's not going to be easy to pull yourself out of that in terms of the poor shooting efforts. But you got to think those averages will start to even out for you eventually.
Yeah, and they've got a couple winnable games on the schedule. I mean, this is not – you don't look at any of those games. I mean, they're going to go on the road to
Athens.
They played
some elite defensive teams too.
Oh, and we talked about it. I think I put that piece together. The stretch that they had coming up was ridiculous. I mean, it was very hard. But they're going to have Georgia, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, three in a row where you feel like, hey, they've got a shot to go and win all of those games, just one of them being on the road, and that's in Athens. I want to spend the rest of this podcast talking about this, and so, Dylan, I want to throw it to you. Look, there's been a lot of talk on our boards about, you know, the conversation of what was the realistic expectation, and we could probably do a whole podcast episode on just this right here, but I want to try to fit it in here because you've been pretty vocal about this on social media in the sense of, look, this was a mess that was inherited. Now, Glenn, and rightfully so, has said that, you know, things do need to change. It's not an excuse for saying that things need to happen, that you know, LSU fans should say we need to see some differences made next year. But are you hitting the panic button as much as some folks are in this situation? I mean, look, I get the nervousness of a 7-year contract. I get that nervousness. But, you know, I came from covering a school that gave a football coach 7 years and it was a disaster. So, you know, those things right there. But where do you kind of sit on the fence in this? This is something interesting, the kind of the future of this program.
I mean, I think that there's a reason that it was a 7-year contract. It gives them time. I have not been quiet in that. I think the old coach had this program, put this program in a place where it was beyond repair in one offseason, I think, to even be a competitive basketball team. And I think we've seen where they have just had, they've been slightly competitive at times, but they're 1-9 in the SEC or some along those lines. And it's 1-9, that's bad. And but
lost 10 yeah. straight. Yeah.
Yeah. They are. Yeah, it's not good, but I think that this is kind of – it's not what you want to expect, but I think you could have expected something similar to this in terms of a huge step down to where it's been. This team, Matt McMahon was given a rough hand and is playing through that hand right now while eyes are still towards the future. I'm not hitting the panic button that much on the future. I think that this is maybe the worst case scenario for year one. And it just happened to be the worst case scenario happened. And you look at all these other coaches like Kim Mulkey getting a 3 seed in her first year, Jay Johnson, you know, he didn't reach Omaha. So, I mean, that could be disappointing for some people. Brian Kelly's first year, all of these coaches are having huge successes in their first year. And then you look at Matt McMahon and it's like, come on, what are you doing? Pick it up.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened yet. But I think that this is kind of a more realistic this. I mean, this is what people thought that the football team was going to be after one game. I don't know. I'm not hitting the panic button for the future of the team yet. I think he was given a really rough hand and it's playing out in the bad scenario. But I don't think that says that much about him overall as a coach, and I'm not saying, oh well, they need to, you know, go ahead and start looking for someone else. This isn't going to work out.
Yeah, it would set you back further, in my opinion, if you did that.
Yeah, and look, the biggest thing that I think you need to accomplish over the next month is just, you know, develop some level of buy-in from everyone. I mean, right now they're, you know, it seems like there's half the team that's bought in, and then the other half are, you know, just itching to get into the portal or just move on from the program. You've got to get everybody on board, I think, by the end of the season, and you reevaluate things. And look, there's going to be some massive turnover here, I think, in the first season, first off season. I think, you know, look, one of the things that I had questions about coming into the year was the size, and you're seeing that play out. They just don't have a ton of size, a ton of depth at their forwards and big man spots. And that's something that, I think McMahon is going to have to really attack this offseason. It's not breaking news that they need to get longer and a little bit quicker and, you know, just get some more SEC-looking kind of defensive wings and guys that can shoot the ball a little bit better than maybe LSU has this year. You know, they've got some areas to fill out. And, you know, I think probably the part of all this that's, you know, been overlooked, I think, for much of the season was not only that McMahon had to rebuild this roster literally from scratch. I mean, he had zero players by the time all the guys hopped into the portal. He re-recruited a couple of them, but the bigger picture here is that, you know, the NCAA still hasn't leveled any kind of penalties on LSU yet for what happened with Will Wade and this program. And I'm not expecting there to be any kind of postseason bans or anything, but there could be recruiting restrictions that are lifted or, mm-hmm. or enacted for a year or two here that kind of restrict what McMahon's allowed to do. And so until that kind of comes to light and what we know for sure is going to be the penalties, I'm not sure that you can really recruit to your best effort if you're Matt McMahon right now. So you're looking at the transfer portal being a really heavy usage this year. I think that's probably needed for this group. But you've got to establish some kind of culture because, there's it's only 1 year in, but, it's going to get to a point here pretty soon where, you're going to have to start producing some and showing some improvement and showing that the program is going on the right track. And I think they have a chance to do that here in the latter half of this schedule.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we kind of went over the next couple games in that sense of, where they've got some winnable games. This next stretch is huge. I mean, look, guys, I don't know. I mean, listen, it's just – what do they say in the SEC? It just means more. I mean, that's what they say. The heat's going to be turned up. If they don't win another game, it's going to be bad in the sense of not – realistically, maybe not really bad because hopefully the administration understands the situation as well, but the fan base in the sense of it would be really bad. But Dylan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he was rebuilding a team from scratch with the barrel of the death penalty being pointed at the school for a while is what it felt like. So I it'll be interesting to see, given the rough start, how with maybe less fear of the NCAA, still knowing that punishment's going to happen, but it's not looking like it's going to be as bad. Some people thought it was going to be like years of the postseason being like gone. Like
you're not going to get that.
It's not going to get that. So I think
it's not going to be SMU football.
I think that it'll be. Maybe with the fears being a little bit lighter from the NCAA, maybe that opens up a little bit more of being able to be like, hey, well, we can make the postseason. We just need the players to.
Yeah. They need the players to. And I agree with what you said, Glenn, as well. You have to establish identity, whether it is a key transfer that can come in or a young player or a guy like Derek Fountain that, he just becomes the guy that the team and the fan base can look to. That's a lot of pressure. But look, that's why you're playing Division I Power 5 basketball, and I think it'd be really good to have that as well. But look, the men's team, obviously, with a disappointing stretch, no doubt about it, but they're going to be on the road this week at Mississippi State and then come back home on Saturday against Texas A&M. Some winnable games in the future, and it would bode well for the fan base, for McMahon, and also lift the heavy cloud that is above that locker room. I think as well, and Glenn provided some good insight on that. He's going to have some more pieces on that this week. Women's team, big game. We talked about it against South Carolina coming up on Sunday. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure that we will talk about that as well as we surround ourselves with the Super Bowl coverage. And Glenn opts for carrots. I opt for celery. And Dylan just opts for no fries with his wings.
I mean, a little bit of both. Celery and carrot. All right.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Dylan nearly left us. He almost made it through the entire podcast, but hey, there we go. He's back and wonderful as ever. Dylan, it's great to have you back. Glenn, we're going to be talking football. Baseball is nearly in full swing. Going to be a lot of fun. We are getting so close.
Sorry for baseball season.
Going to be a lot of fun. We got some good stuff coming out on that as well. He is Glenn West. He is also Dylan Sanders. Not he and he, but you get what I'm saying here. He is Glenn West and Dylan Sanders. I'm Bryce Coon saying so long. This is the Go 24/7 podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button. Hit the notifications bell down below so you know when the latest content comes out. And if you're listening, whether anywhere you get your audio podcast, whether it's your drive home, whether it's a workout or run, make sure to give us a like and leave a comment as well. What you think? Women's program, men's program, kind of a little midseason recap for both as we get ready and kind of into the final stretch as we get ready for conference tournament play. We'll see you next time on the Go 24/7 podcast.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What about the charges? You'll be going home.
murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.